I'm Ruby Redstone.
And I'm Lara Johnson-Wheeler.
And we want to invite you to get dressed with us.
Or at least think about getting dressed.
While we talk about getting dressed.
This is a transatlantic podcast about fashion, where we explore what it means to have a relationship with clothes, the issues both personal and political garments can raise, and our own ever-evolving philosophies of dress.
Hi, Lara.
Hi, Ruby. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How about you?
I have done better, but still chin up through this all. We're in the middle of COVID-19. So, you know, as good as one can expect.
Let's say where we are, just to give some context. I am from New York City, but I am just outside of the city off of Long Island with my husband and my family right now.
Well, I am from London, but I am currently in Oxfordshire, caught unawares in my old family home with my boyfriend, Patrick. We thought we were going to come here to snaffle some furniture for our new abode, and we got stuck. So that's where we are. Ruby, what are you wearing?
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm wearing, and I honestly think I have on a rather perfectly me outfit for this first episode here. I have on a vintage blouse that's by Jessica McClintock. She's one of the designers who did Gunny Sacks here in the US. Did you guys have that in the UK?
Not so much, but my eBay travels have brought me there.
Yeah, it seems like it's very like American West style clothing, and it's all sort of Victorian revival pieces. Gunny Sacks is from like the 70s, 80s, and then they made a few things in the 90s. I would say the one I have on is probably 70s. It's like a light purple floral with a big Victorian collar. And then I have on denim shorts because it's warm outside. And the second it gets warm, I love to wear denim shorts, which my sister said is offensive. And that I love denim shorts, but I do.
And I'm with Lily. I hate denim shorts more than life itself. So
I know it's a controversial opinion, but I really love them. And then I have on a big black velvet bow on top of my head because I found that the best way to cheer myself up these days is to just slap a bow on anything. So I slapped one on myself.
Got a problem? Slap a bow on it.
Exactly. Now, please tell me what you're wearing out there in the countryside.
Well, I packed a minimal amount of clothes. I'm very sad to be away from my quite extensive London wardrobe. But I did bring a red and black shrimps dress that I bought in the sample sale a few years ago. So I'm wearing that to make me feel a little bit festive for our podcast. And I got cold, so I'm wearing a long leopard print coat, channeling a bit of Carol Baskin if you've managed to binge watch Tiger King like you and I have.
I still have not watched Tiger King, but I can picture you nonetheless.
Well, there we go. That is who I am these days. Desperate and cat-friendly, like Carol Baskin.
And you have not yet murdered your husband, so.
I mean, I give it a week.
Okay.
So I guess we should sort of tell our listeners a little bit about why we decided to do this podcast, why they're listening to us talk about clothes and getting dressed.
Absolutely. You and I are both very lucky to have careers that we love. We both write about fashion for a living. And I would say maybe 6 months ago, we had an email chain that started and sort of never stopped of us writing each other little essays about style. And of course, those little essays turned into bigger ideas about philosophy and politics and our different personalities. And we thought we should record those conversations and start to think about all the things in the world, both past, present, and future, that we work through in terms of our clothing.
That's exactly right. And I think it's very key at this point to acknowledge she who sparked these conversations entirely. And that was, of course, Zadie Smith in a piece she wrote for Vogue US, tapping onto what she believes are the differences and also the similarities, the sort of symbioses between transatlantic dressing, so dressing for when she is in New York or when she is in her hometown of London. And as Ruby and I in some ways sort of managed to bridge that gap ourselves, we thought that would be worth discussing too.
Exactly. Lara's the British one and I'm the American one. And we definitely represent both sides of that conversation, but also still share a lot of very similar ideas about style. And so we thought this would be a fun way to explore that.
I think it's also going to be interesting talking a little bit about personal style as well as sort of the you know, social impact of clothing. And I'm personally very excited because whereas Ruby writes more about personal style, I'm not so trained in that as a practice. And I'm really interested, a little bit nervous about speaking personally, as it's something I am often loath to do in terms of fashion. But I would trust nobody more than Rue. So I'm very excited to kind of dive in a little deeper into our, you know, our similarities and our differences when it comes to dress.
While we're here, we should also say what we do to explain these sort of like different sides of the fashion journalism spectrum that we sit on.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I brand myself. I describe myself as a freelance writer, editor, and broadcaster, a broad use of terms in order that anyone can really commission me at any point. I write mainly about arts and fashion, but I am a contributing editor to Buffalo Zine and also to Tatler, interestingly enough. And I do features editing for Dapper Dan magazine. And I was features editor at Show Studio for 2 years, where I really learned a lot about the person I am now. Show Studio being Nick Knight's incredible fashion platform, the home of fashion film, and the home of me between the years of, 22 to 25.
Wow, really formative years.
Deeply formative years. Maybe I got those dates wrong because I have a terrible way with numbers and dates, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
I mean, that's why we work with clothes, right?
Absolutely.
I similarly have a sort of amorphous job title. I've worked in a lot of different aspects of the fashion industry. I started out in more technical design, doing shoe design at Marc Jacobs and working with a couple of other photographers, turned that into working for fashion publications, took a brief break, worked in galleries, and then came back to fashion doing styling and writing about fashion. So I have a monthly column on Man Repeller where I talk about personal style. And then I also independently style for editorials, runway, celebrity clients. But like Lara said, my favorite person to style is always myself. And I'm really most interested in how that sort of fits into different cultural conversations.
You selfish witch.
Exactly.
But anyway, the styling yourself thing is so interesting to me because I never really thought about it as kind of like a, I never really thought of styling oneself as something that one had to think about too much. We were talking about this the other day, you and I, because I had to do a photo shoot where somebody else styled me. And yeah, I ended up looking feral. I hated it. You know, you said, you know, you're like, that's the thing, like, don't let someone else style you. You have to know and wear your own stuff, right? Because I jumped at the opportunity to like wear this amazing Ganni coat that looked incredible on a hanger. It had these beautiful kind of like diamante crystal buttons and leg of mutton sleeve. And then on, you know, it answered my question as to like why I wasn't going to buy it myself. It's because it just wasn't right.
I mean, I think I've done this working on jobs as a stylist. And then I feel like anytime I do a shoot where there is a stylist, they pull out this stuff that's sort of vaguely your style, but like one beat off. And they're like, oh, we thought this was so you, so you should just throw this on. And you see it on the hanger and you're like, oh, hell yeah, that is so me. You're right. It's got a little collar. It's got pearls. It's got diamonds on it. And then you put it on and you have that exact reaction that you're describing of you're like, wait, there's a reason this isn't in my wardrobe. It's because I don't like it. And then you're stuck with an image of yourself like that to use as your, you know, author's bio picture or whatever.
I really want to kind of hone in on that thing when you look at a piece of clothing and you're like, this is right in every single way but one. There's like one thing that's wrong. And I think for me, like, I'm so conscious about clothes that have like an extra detail that they don't need. And I've been thinking about this recently, like why that is, why I prefer stuff to be just like a tiny bit more basic than it should be.
I think it's because that extra, the plainness of something allows you to add more of your own things on top. I mean, we're both definitely layerers in that sense. I'm never satisfied to just wear like a dress and tights. It has to also have socks over the tights and jewelry and a sweater. And that's definitely part of my style. And I find actually that when I'm wearing something that is perfectly done and adorned and decorated, like say I'm wearing this gorgeous dress that's got ribbons and pearlescent buttons and a scalloped hem and, you know, lace on the sleeves, everything I like, but I find that I feel as if I'm wearing a beautiful dress. I don't feel as if I've created an outfit of my own.
Yeah, totally. And it's that moment that then you think that the piece is wearing you and you're not wearing it.
Exactly.
But coming back to the personal style thing, I think if I was to compare us, I think we have very similar sensibilities when it comes to style. I think it's because like aesthetically, we both, you know, we like the same references. We enjoy the same sorts of film and art and books. And so I think those translate into the, you know, the clothes that we want to wear to put out who we are to the world in quite similar ways. But I think you have more desire to be creative with what you do. I think you're like a little bit more layered up than me. I think I have this desire to like every time I meet someone, also give them the opportunity to, I don't know, maybe it's like I want to be able to present a differing character every time I meet someone. So I'm very keen sometimes to take something off. It's so cliche and I actually hate this quote, but it's like the Coco Chanel quote where she's like, before you leave the house, take one thing off. But I feel like I always do that. I will always, when I get dressed, I always actually do end up taking one thing off, whether it's like an extra, you know, whether it's like, whether I put Simone Rocha earrings on and I'm like, actually today the outfit works so much better when I don't wear those, or like I'll rub the lipstick off that I've put on, or like put on a really bold extra coat and then change it for the coat that I've been wearing all winter, which is an old coat of my grandfather's. It's really sculptured because it just feels a bit more pared down.
I completely see that difference between us now that you articulate it, which is also funny because I must say, now having known you for many years, whenever we go a while without seeing each other and you show up, I'm like, damn, her outfit is so much cooler than mine. Was that the last time you came to New York and it was pouring rain and you came to my house? I couldn't stop talking to Gabriel, my husband, after and being like, oh, but she just looks so cool. Even though she was out in the rain, she had on the Tobby boots and these cool clips and she just looked cool. And I had on one of my favorite outfits, but I was like, oh, she looks cooler than me, even after walking around in the rain all day.
About the end of that evening, we had the most delicious Chinese food at Mission. You remember?
Yes.
And then I got back to the hotel that I was staying at and I took off my black velvet Tobbies that I'd been wearing all day, unpicked the pearl clips from my hair, and my feet were black, literally black. And I was lying in the hotel bed and I was so tired, I was so jet lagged that I just lay, I slept with my feet off the bed because I didn't want to get the sheets black. So as cool as chic as I may have looked on the outside, my toes underneath the Tobbies were a feral, oily mess. I think for me, the thing as well is I've always been very conscious of my own identity. You're not the only selfish witch on this podcast, Drew. And I think for me, I've always been very conscious of how where I come from is often quick to define me first, whereas what I can do instead is define myself as I would prefer to be perceived through clothes. And so through that experience, I've realized clothing is just a really, really crucial and important thing to me in my life, as shallow as certain people may believe that to be.
Absolutely. There are always going to be people who put that down, but I think you and I are definitely united in our belief that fashion is not just a reflection of what's going on around us. It can often be the driving force in creating those conversations about what's happening.
Completely. And I think it's important that we, you know, get to unpick those through this podcast. I mean, for example, right now, you know, I feel a sense of real loss and a real sense of longing for clothes that I've left at home, because being in quarantine at a place that I wasn't expecting to be during COVID-19 has forced me to go through old clothes and my teenage wardrobe and to, you know, rifle through old American Apparel and Topshop pieces that I'd kind of cast aside. And it's helping me put back together kind of a strange image of the person that I used to be, in which is quite in opposition to the 26-year-old who works in fashion who I identify as now.
I feel the exact same way. When I packed to come out here to spend time with my family, I only packed a few pairs of leggings and a few nightgowns. And I don't really know what was going through my mind when that's what I threw in my suitcase. Yeah. So it's been a real, I don't want to say struggle, because there are people who are truly, genuinely, really struggling right now, but it's been a mental sort of hurdle to jump over to try to figure out how to still feel like myself when I've had that massive part of my identity kind of taken away right now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no part of me that feels the need to, you know, justify what we're doing here. But of course, we should preface the entirety of a fashion podcast during a pandemic with the fact that we're not unaware that people are, you know, suffering and sick, but that fashion for us is an escape. And I think it's so crucial to do whatever one can at this time to continue that kind of escape and maintain that fantasy that we so love about clothing and about getting dressed.
Precisely. And when we drafted up the idea for this podcast back in January, when we thought we would be recording in person together in London, we wanted it to be a light and entertaining way of considering our world and our current personal situations through the lens of fashion and nothing else.
Ugh, completely. I wonder if we tell our listeners our story, Rue. It's one of your favorite things to tell.
Yes, about how we met.
The iconic tale of how we met.
Since I know everyone is just dying to know, Lara and I met at school. We both went to the University of St. Andrews, and she was 2 years ahead of me there. So I tragically had to spend my last 2 years there without her. But in the very beginning,
I had to spend my first two without you.
That's true. And it was probably, well, I don't know. They were both bad. So I had arrived in St. Andrews, I think it was my first week there, and I was walking down the street with some friends, eating an enormous bag of nacho cheese Doritos, which was, I think, my what I considered dinner back then. This was before I knew how to cook. And so I was consuming my enormous bag of Doritos on the street, and someone waved Lara over, and she came over and looked me up and down, and I was wearing this jacket before I'd gone to St. Andrews. I'd worked at opening ceremony, the now defunct, well, it's on its way out. They've declared bankruptcy, but they're not closed yet as we're speaking. Who knows? By the time this comes out, they may be gone.
So tragic.
I was wearing this opening ceremony jacket that I got when I worked there. All the employees had one, sort of this varsity jacket, said opening ceremony on the back, and then had my name on the front. And Lara came over and asked for a Dorito before even saying hi. So we shared some Doritos, and she looked me up and down and said, "Where'd you get that jacket?" And I said, "Oh, well, I got it when I worked there." And she looked me dead in the eyes and said, "Well, what are you doing here then?" And I love that because it so perfectly encapsulated what I felt in that moment. I had been sort of taken out of my New York City world, thrown into this tiny town in Scotland, and very much felt, what the hell am I doing here?
I still scream at how absolutely obnoxious I was. I mean, deeply rude. And I would apologize had it not created a fast friendship.
Exactly. And then I think the second time we hung out, you were wearing a toga, so.
Oh my God. Classical and chic. Who am I?
Because you were such an intense classics major.
Je l'aime, but also j'adore.
But it definitely indicated I had been struggling in the beginning of my time in St. Andrews to find like-minded people who wanted to have conversations about fashion and who considered that part a robust academic discourse.
The fact that you were wearing an open ceremony jacket just, for me, invited conversation, whereas, like, I think for a lot of others it wouldn't have. I mean, I was sort of in a similar place 2 years earlier than you. I'd come from London, I'd interned left, right and centre, and I kind of just was going through the motions a bit with university too, even though I love studying. I'm such a nerd that it really, I mean, we both have this in common, that it really brought me incredible pleasure. But I definitely didn't feel that there was a value in those kinds of conversations. And I think it's really helped to formulate, you know, who we are now and what we do. We've continued those conversations across the pond now through pandemics. I mean, what can hold us back from talking about fashion? What I'm really excited to do with the podcast is kind of traverse through different layers of our lives, and in the way that one undresses at the end of every day, kind of undress our own thoughts about getting dressed. I'm keen to talk a bit about how our relationships have kind of changed the way we dress, how we identify in terms of gender, in terms of stereotype, in terms of, you know, our upbringing. And I'm really excited to kind of unpick more about, yeah, the things that we really love about fashion, which is the fantasy and the escape. I'm probably giving away thousands of themes in this little monologue.
Well, it's just a little taste for now. And of course, every episode will be complete with discussions of our favorite designers, our favorite vintage pieces, and all those sort of little things that make up one big outfit when one is getting dressed.
I honestly can't wait. Bye, Rue.
Bye.
Oy vey. Oy vey.
Thank you so much for tuning into our first ever episode. It really means the world to us. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider liking, subscribing, or sharing it with someone else who might want to get dressed with us too. Next week, Lara and I will unpick femininity and discuss how our gender identity has shaped our wardrobes. See you then.